Hello and welcome to this exploring session of the End Town play, well, plays. This is play 6 in the manuscript Moses and the Ten Commandments, the 6th of 10 so far in the can. We recorded the first 10 plays as exploring sessions in 2019, and I do hope to keep the pressure up in 2020 so that I have the first half done by the end of the year, if not necessarily released. If you want to help that happen, become a patron today at www.patreon.com/beyondshakespeare. Your support is vital. Or you can buy us a coffee at coffee.com, that's ko-fi.com/beyondshakespeare. If you've listened to our Chester explorations, then obviously there is another version of the play that you can listen and compare this with. Well, I say that, not quite. Moses does turn up in the Chester cycle in play 5 at the very top of the very weird Balaam and Balak play, before the play moves on to, you know, talking asses. And I think it's fair to say that there is a real question for the dramaturgs of the day as to what you do with the Moses story. Some plays do attempt to capture some of the dramatic action of this story. There are some quite expansive versions. But the narrative is slightly too big to do anything with, so it's easier for most plays to just lop the action down to Moses giving a sermon. Parts of this play also, as we state, seems to come from the office cut-and-paste template, certainly the opening. And there are other plays which use the same opening gambit as almost a convention of how you start a play. This appears in two Robin Hood fragmentary texts that we've played with elsewhere, where the opening speech is exactly the same each time. There are lots of different digital and physical editions of the End Town play out there, but you can go to the show notes to quickly find an online version of the text to follow as you listen at your leisure. Anyway, here is the first stab at getting into this play. It was workshopped with our Beyond Shakespeare Irregulars sometime in 2019, so there are stumbles and errors, but that is par for the course. More fulsome audio versions of all these exploring session plays one day will be released. And as we'll be recording a proper version of this anon, please share your thoughts or suggestions about where we go from here. Submit suggestions, clarifications, and passive-aggressive abuse either on our Patreon page by joining us, or on Twitter at Beyond Shakes, or you can email us at admin@beyondshakespeare.org. The Irregulars were Richard Fawcett and Alan Scott, and I'm, as per usual, your host, Robert Crichton. And this is play 6 of the End Town play, Moses. Okay, play 6 then is mercifully short. Moses and God. So if Richard, you want to be Moses, and if you be God, Alan.
Okay.
Jesus Christ, how long is this speech?
Exactly. That's why I'm going to ask you to rattle through it. Basically, we've got a page and a half of what I would call a play, where God and Moses and the burning bush thing happens, and then basically Moses does the Ten Commandments for everyone. And if you lose the will to live, I will understand, and we can pause early. But it's the first page and a bit that's the interesting bit that I want to look at. The rest we could skip if we get really bored. But it might be fascinating. I don't know. It might be absolutely riveting. Okay, Richard, as Moses.
He that made all thing of naught, heaven and earth, both sun and moon, save all that his hand hath wrought, almighty God in heaven throne. I am Moses, yes you are, dear boy, of course you are, that make this bone, I pray thee, Lord God, with all my mend, to us incline thy mercy soon, thy gracious lordship let us find.
You have just printed off the office template of how to start the play, haven't you, from the previous one? It's exactly the same. Sorry, carry on.
Thee to please and in all degree, gracious God and Lord over all, thou grantest grace whereso we be, and save us sound from sinful fall, thy will to work to us thy thrall, inform and teach us all thy pleasance, in pureness put us that never might fall, and ground us in grace from all grievance, Ah, mercy God, what meaneth yon sight? A green bush as fire doth flame, and keepeth his colour fair and bright, fresh and green withouten blame. It figureth something of right great fame. I cannot see what it may be. I will go near in God's name, and wisely look this bush to see.
Moses! Hey, Moses! Hark to me anon this stand.
I am here, Lord, withouten knees. Your gracious will to do I am bound.
Thou take this shown anon full round, of this thy fate in haste let's see. Full holy is that place and ground there where thou dost stand, I say to thee.
Barefoot now I do me make, and pull of my shoon from my feet, and pull off my shoon from my feet. Now have I my shoon off take. What?
And now I'm going to take off my shoes. I have now taken off my shoes.
Both lift and right. What is your will, Lord? Fain would I wet.
Come near, Moses, with me to meet. These tablets I take thee in thine hand. With my finger in them is writ all my laws, thou understand. Look that thou preachest all about. Whoso will have friendship of me, to my laws look there lout, that there be kept in all degree. Go forth and preach anon, let's say. Look thou not but night and day.
Your bidding, Lord, all wrought shall be. Your will to work, I walk my way. The commandment of thy Lord God, man, look thou keep, where that thou walk, wake or sleep. Every man take good heed, and to my teaching take good intent. For God hath sent me now indeed, you for to inform his commandment. You to teach, God hath me sent, his laws of life that are full wise. Them to learn be diligent, your souls may they save at the last assize. The precepts that taught shall be written in these tables twain. In the first been written three that touch to God, this is certain. In the second table be written full clean to other seth that touch mankind. Hark now well, man, what I shall say, and print these laws well in thy mind. The first commandment of God, as you I say, of the first table forsooth, is this. Thou shalt have neither night nor day, none other God but the King of bliss. Understand well what meaneth this, every man in his degree, and set never your heart amiss upon this world's vanity. Heavens above, no. For if thou set thy love so sore upon riches and worldly good, thy worldly riches thou takest evermore, even for thy God as man over wood. Amend thee, man, and change thy mood. Lease not thy soul for world's wealth, only him love which bodily food doth give all day and ghostly health. The second precept of the first table, the name of God take never in vain. Swear none of this be noon false fable, the name of God thou never disdain. Beware of others for doubt of pain. Amongst fellowship, when thou dost sit, a little oath, this is certain, may damn thy soul to hell pit.
Yeah, bring it on.
Man, while thou art set at the nail and hast thy language as pleaseth thee, look thine oaths be none or small, and yet always look true they be. But swear not often by rede of me, for if thou use oft time to swear, it may gender custom in thee. Beware of custom, for he will dear. The third commandment of God, as I read, doth bid thee hail well within holy day. Keep thee well for a sinful deed, and care not greatly for rich array. A right, it's plenteous, it's freaking, a right poor man, this is none nay, a simple estate in clothes rent, may be better than rich with garments gay. Oftentimes doth keep this commandment, for rich men do show oft time pomp and pride. On holy days as oft is seen, when poor men pass and go beside. At worthy feasts rich men will mean, thou holy day thou keep'st not clean. In gluttony to lead thy life, in God's house ye should bedeen. Honour your God, both maiden and wife. On the second table, the first commandment. What am I bid for the first commandment of the second
table? It's like, and here we go to the second table, and it's like, it's just like dropping.
And in the order, the fourth, I say in fay, he bindeth thee evermore with heart bent, both father and mother to worship alway. Though that thy father be poor of array, and though thou are never so rich of gold and good, yet look thou worship him night and day, of whom thou hast both flesh and blood. In this commandment included is thy bodily father and mother also. Included also, I find in this, thy ghostly father and mother thereto. To thy ghostly father ever reverence do. Thy ghostly mother is holy church. These twain save thy soul from woe. Ever them to worship look that thou worch. The fifth commandment biddeth all us, slay no man, unless of course you happen to be Abraham and you've got a son, no wight that thou kill. Understand this precept thus, slay no wight with word nor will. Wicked word worketh oft time great ill. Beware therefore of wicked language, wicked speech many on doth spill, therefore of speech beth not outrage. The sixth commandment biddeth every man that no wight lead no lecherous lay. Forfeit never be no woman, less than the law allow thy play. Trespass never with wife, ne may, with widow, nor with other wight. Keep thee clean, as I thee say, to whom thou hast thy troth plight. Do no theft, nothing thou steal. The seventh precept biddeth thee full sore, while thou art in wealth and well. Evil get good, look thou restore, off hands and deed be true evermore. For if thine hands limed be, thou art but shent. Thy name is law in field and town and in all country. The eighth precept, thus doth thou bid, false witness look none thou bear. The truth nevermore look that thou hide. With false witness no man thou dare, neither for love nor dread nor fear, say none other than truth is. False witness, if that thou rear, against God thou dost greatly amiss. The ninth precept of law of life, even thus doth bid every man, desire not thy neighbour's wife, though she be fair and white as swan, and thy wife brown, yet not for them. Thy neighbour's wife, the ninth precept of law of life, even thus doth bid every man, desire not thy neighbour's wife, though she be fair and white as swan, and thy wife brown, yet not for them. Thy neighbour's wife, thou never rejoice, keep thee clean as ever thou can, to thine own wife and thine own choice. The tenth commandment of God, and last, thank Christ, is this. Thy neighbour's house desire thou naught, maiden nor servant nor naught of his. Desire him never in thy will nor thought, ox nor ass that he hath bought, nor nothing that longeth him to. God's law must needs be wrought, desire nothing thy neighbour throw. The sixth commandment of lechery, I'm going to have another go at this one, I like this one.
Yes. Favorite.
The sixth commandment of lechery doth include the sinful deed, but these twain last most straitly, both deed and thought they do forbid. In will ne'er thought nor lechery thou lead, thou thought and will thou must refrain. All thy desire, as I thee read, in cleanness of life thyself restrain. Friends, these be the laws that ye must keep. Therefore, every man set well in mend, whether thou do wake or sleep. These laws to learn, thou hark full hind, and God's grace shall be thy friend. He succour and save you in wealth from woe. Farewell, good friends, for hence will I wend. I'm getting out what's going good. My tale I have taught thee, now I go.
And it's the structural problem of what happens when you know how many parts there are coming up. It's the thing. We know there are 10 parts, and we learn pretty quickly you're going to do 2 stanzas per part, and the audience also will know this. And it's a structural flaw that once you figure out the game,
You know,
the audience know how long they're in for. Yeah. And that immediately makes time stretch. It feels longer. And however worthy and however, you know, obviously, yeah, performed, it would be done with some seriousness that we possibly have decided not to do. I mean, it has to be said, the opening of the play, Moses does the sort of traditional introduction, and then a burning bush just goes, woomph. God says, you know, hark to me, and I'm here, and it's like, I just have Moses just going, oh, that's you. Oh, hi. You know, it's very difficult for us to dismiss the comic potential of this, and that's the thing we would have to avoid, obviously. It's fine for now.
The odd thing is that this last couple of stanzas, which is where the sixth commandment comes back.
Yes. I was just checking that wasn't numbered incorrectly. No, it does say sixth commandment. Yes,
well, I did check through because the sixth commandment is mentioned before, but I'm wondering whether, in fact, what we've got there is an alternative wording which has got added on at the end rather than as being an alternative.
I think it's just reiterating the point. He's obviously very keen on the sixth commandment. Yeah. That is obviously something that is in the bee of the bonnet of this particular thing, and that's one to look into. Because it's connected, you know. It's connected to the thought of don't desire somebody else's house or their possessions,
or their
and it's connecting that thought to lecturing. Because it's a two stanza job, and the thing is, I think actually he just runs out of things to say in the first stanza, and says, "Let's link it back to because everyone likes the sex bit. That'll wake him up."